Good. Well, when I was talking to Laura beforehand, I asked her, how long do you think you'll speak for? And Laura said, 5 minutes, 10 at the most. And I said, I bet you're longer than that. I think you've got more to say than you'll be able to squeeze in 10 minutes. So in faith, Laura, I prepared a 5-minute Bible study, not a 20-minute Bible study like I told you I might, just a 5-minute one, thinking that that's probably the right amount of time for tonight. And I was right. You had lots to tell us, and we were glad that you took up all of that to share that with us this evening. But I do want to just look at these verses together from Psalm 119. And I think it's very interesting that the longest chapter in the whole of the Bible is Psalm 119, because there are two things that are unique, really, about Psalm 119. And we're going to look at those briefly. The first is, you can only really tell this unique thing about Psalm 119 if you read Hebrew, all right? So Laura's going to put a screen. This is the first 18 verses of Psalm 119 in Hebrew, right? I don't understand a word of that, I'm afraid, apart from the numbers, all right? But there's something special about this psalm and the way that it's written, that even if you don't know Hebrew, if you look closely, you might be able to notice. Remember, Hebrew is written from right to left, so from this side across that way. What do you notice if you look at the Hebrew of Psalm 119? What do you notice, for example, about those first 8 verses? The same, yes. The first 8 verses all begin with the same letter, Aleph, I think, in Hebrew. And the next 8 verses, they all begin with a different letter, but the same letter, Beth, I think. And then as you go through the psalm, every 8 verses begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's a real kind of, in English at least, an A to Z. It begins with 8 A's, if you like, 8 B's, 8 C's, 8 D's, and so on, right the way through to the end of the alphabet. So if you were reading this in Hebrew, in the language that it was originally written, you would really know this is a psalm that's really trying to cover everything, the whole A to Z of life. So that's the first thing that's interesting about Psalm 119. You can come off that slide now. Thank you, Laura. The second thing that's interesting about Psalm 119 is that almost every verse of those 176, I think it was, verses, contain a reference to the Bible. There's only one or two verses in the whole psalm that don't contain a reference to the Bible. So all of the verses that we read together contain a reference to the Bible. Verse 9, for example, by living according to your word. Verse 10, do not let me stray from your commands. Verse 11, I've hidden your word in my heart. Verse 12, teach me your decrees. Verse 13, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Verse 14, I rejoice in following your statutes. Verse 15, I meditate on your precepts. Verse 16, I delight in your decrees. So here we've got these two interesting things about the whole psalm. The first one, it covers A to Z, the whole of life. The second thing is, it's absolutely saturated all the way through with the Word of God, with the Bible. Now, that's not a coincidence, is it? So just from the structure of Psalm 119, without going into any of the detail, what can we learn? Well, what we learn is this, is that God's Word really does help us right throughout all of our lives, from the beginning, A, right through to the end, Z. The Bible is absolutely right for every single aspect of our lives, because all of our lives should be like Psalm 119, peppered through with the Bible. That's why, of course, The Bible is very prominent here in Bethel and indeed in the other churches that Laura's spoken of this evening and all gospel churches. It's why we have a Bible study on a Wednesday. It's why we preach the Bible on a Sunday. It's why we have meetings like Oasis where the Bible is studied. It's why we teach the Bible in Sunday school and in Impact and in Adventurers and Discoverers and in Food for Thought and in all the other things that we do. Because the Bible really is vital for our lives. Very quickly, from those verses that we read, not the whole psalm now, just this tiny little snippet that we read, what can the Bible help us with? Verse 9, it can help us with staying on the path of purity. We need that, but without the Bible, we'll struggle to be pure. What else will it help us to do? Verse 10, it will help us to seek the Lord wholeheartedly. It's vital that we do that. We need the Lord's help. We need to seek him and be close to him. Sometimes we feel distant from God, don't we? As though God is not near. What should we do in those moments? Well, the Word of God can really help us to seek the Lord and to find him. According to verse 11 now, similar to verse 9, the Word of God hidden in our hearts will help us not to sin. So here we've got something more. Obviously, in the days of Psalm 119, written probably around about 1000 BC, 3000 years ago, something like that, they didn't have any iPhones that they could whip out and look up a Bible verse. They couldn't do that. They couldn't even have a pocket New Testament or even a pocket Old Testament. Everything was on scrolls. Ordinary people wouldn't own a scroll. So what did they do? They memorized God's word. They learnt it as they were taught as children, and they hid God's word in their hearts. Now, I love using my Bible app on my phone. I used it today in my devotions. I'm not against apps and pocket Bibles. I think it's very useful to always have a Bible with you because that'll remember things that you forget. But that instant accessibility to the Bible that we have in our generation sometimes means we don't take the trouble to learn the Bible as maybe we used to and to hide verses in our hearts. And therefore, maybe when temptation comes, we don't recall those verses and we're not helped to fight against the temptation. But by hiding God's word in our hearts, deliberately, consciously seeking to memorize and remember God's word, we can be helped in all kinds of situations as the Lord brings those things back to us. Laura, you mentioned something, not a quote from the Bible, but something about the Bible that you learned, and you said you won't forget, you've memorized that the Bible wasn't written to us, but it was written for us. That's really helpful. To set aside things like that, but particularly things from the Bible that will help us. The next thing that the Bible helps us to do now is in verse 11. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. So now we're recognizing here, well, actually, if we're going to understand the Bible, we need God's help. Yes, we can read it by ourselves, and we should. Yes, we can hear Bible preached. Yes, we can go to a Bible study. We can even go to a Northwest Partnership training day and learn about the Bible. But ultimately, we need God's help. We need the Holy Spirit to humble us. Because to know what the Bible says, it's quite another thing to put that into practice, isn't it? And we need God's help to be able to do that. The next verse there. With my lips I recount all of the laws that come from your mouth. Very interesting verse. So not only are we hiding the Bible in our heart, but we're also speaking the Bible to others, we're told here in Psalm 119. And we don't just occasionally do this, but with my lips I recount all the laws. And here's the interesting thing, that the psalmist says, with my lips I recount the laws that come from your mouth. It's as if he's saying, it's as if I'm a kind of spokesperson for God. And you know, with many of our friends, we may very well be that. Many of our friends and neighbours and so on might never open a Bible and read God's word for themselves. And perhaps the only way, humanly speaking, that they will hear God's word and hear God speak is through us. The next thing that we're told here, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. So there's a joy, in other words, in doing, following God's word. And so we're not just remembering it, we're not just speaking it, we're doing it. We're following God's statutes and we rejoice in that. There's joy in that as one in great riches. There's a value to God's word. Now, most of you will have heard the story of, say, Mary Jones, for example, who, was it the 19th century, 18th century, I forget, saved up for many, many years to be able to buy her own Bible and walked 20-odd miles in order to be able to buy one. You know the story. She valued God's word. Perhaps because access is so easy, perhaps we don't value it. I mentioned earlier, it's good to memorize God's word. And maybe some of us, as you were listening to that, thought, well, I haven't got a very good memory, perhaps you thought. I'm not very good at remembering stuff like that. And you might well be right. I have a poor memory myself. But if I was to say to you, I'll give you a prize if you can come back next week having remembered some Bible verses. It's what we do with the children, isn't it, in Sunday school, maybe in Adventurers and Discoverers as well. You get some points if you remember the Bible verse. Well, what if I was to say, I'll give you £100 for every Bible verse you remember by next week, all right? And you believed me, all right? Don't believe me because you won't get anything. But if I said that, all right, I think you might be surprised just how many Bible verses you could learn if there was £100 for each one. Now, there isn't £100 for each one, but there are great riches in each one. And maybe if we really valued the Bible, we might spend more time with it and more time committing it to our hearts. What else is the Bible useful for? I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. So we're memorizing the Bible, we're speaking the Bible, we're doing the Bible, but we are meditating. What does that mean? Chewing over it, thinking about it. So it's not just something that kind of goes in one and out the other, but we really consider the implications of what that might mean. We wrestle with it. When the Bible tells us that God is great, for example, we don't just skip by that, but we stop and pause. What does it mean when God is great? We might think of ways in which God has demonstrated his greatness in rescuing the Israelites from Egypt, sending Christ on the cross, saving even a sinner like me, meditating. And then finally, I delight in your decrees, I will not neglect your word. A challenge for all of us as believers, isn't it? But that's what we're called to delight in God's word and not to neglect it.